Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome. We are delighted to spend this hour with you, and we're always glad when we have a great listening audience because it's you that makes our shows possible. We peek over our numbers every month to make sure we're doing things that, you can tell your friends about and that our numbers are growing. So thank you, my brothers and sisters, for that which you do to promote our show. I also have with us today Ruchir. And Ruchir, thank you for joining us, and please just start in with whatever direction you wish to follow.
All right. Well, you are very welcome. Last week we spoke about the whole light worker, fitness, physicality, toned body issue, and I actually wanted to ask a related question, namely, where do you think we are in terms of this issue of physical manifestation? I know for the past years it's been kind of like an unfolding of finding keys and elements. Like, for example, we find how magic and alchemy work together, and then there's the creative principles. But would you say we have all the missing links already in terms of what constitutes the art of physical manifestation?
No, I think that there is one more body to come, and I don't have any idea what it is, other than that it has 144 layers. So there's one entire body of manifestation, and it's imminent. I suspect it will be here in a week. But what it is, don't ask me. I have no idea. But it's very exciting that these things are being restored to us, you know, because they've been absent from humanity for eons of existence.
All right. Well, I'd be interested, of course, to find what that is, because so far it seems like there's, like, constantly we're one step behind us if there is some sort of dimension that systematically appears to be eluding us.
In what area do you feel that it's eluding us?
Well, I mean, I'm not just speaking personally, but I'm signaling that generally the impression that I get, namely that why does it still seem very difficult to sort of manifest what we want?
Okay. Now, what I'm actually thinking you mean, so just correct me if I'm wrong, is manifestation that happens with the instant kind of magic. Is that what we're talking about? In other words, like the Harry Potter, you wave your wand and kapow, there it is. Is that what you mean by that we're not manifesting what we want? Or do you mean that people are not manifesting abundance? What exactly do you mean?
I'm not actually sure now, because I think it would involve both, but I'm just referring to a situation which I've seen repeatedly now, that people ask questions like, why does there seem to be something missing in terms of being able to create the life that I want?
The life that we want, meaning manifesting circumstances,
yes.
Let's start with that one, and then we'll go to the other one as well.
Obviously, I mean, it's like abundance and financial and so forth, but, I mean, I'm not sure what else you would mean by it.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Okay, so the reason that people don't manifest that is because they see things as coming from the outside in. That is the key reason. And they think that something on the outside has to occur, so they wait for it. Or they think that they have to make something on the outside of themselves happen to bring certain things about. But the actual truth of it is that even things like abundance, anything like that, happens from changing within. So we want the change, but we don't want to change ourselves, is the biggest problem of why it is not happening. The tremendous power that is inherent in seeing ourselves as the only real place in existence. You know, if you take a look again at the Truman Show that we mentioned last week, because I had written about it on the, what do you call it, Twitter, the day-by-day entries, and I'd written about it because I really felt it had a major key. But it is that there's only in this entire reality, if you will, that was artificially created, there's only one real being, and that is Truman in the show, and the rest are all actors. Literally, that is the way life is. We are the only real place in our existence. Everything else we see is mirroring to us what is within. So if we do not like the mirrors, it is futile to try and change the mirrors. It's like swatting the fly that's on the projector lens in the movie theater on the screen itself, which is just a shadow. So that is number one reason why people do not manifest what they want. So number two, now let's go to the instant magical manifestation that we're looking for. Really powerful bodies of information have just recently come out, one of them being the astrology of Isis. And we, you know, people can go and either the website is under construction or it is up. They can sure take a peek at and see if they can find it up already. Certainly if they're going into archives to listen to the show, it should already be up. But the point is that and what's called the power of the source of creation that we also received, and it should be on that same website, astrologyofisis.com website. They are some of the most powerful that I have seen. But what I have come to understand is each time a new body of information is gained, each time somebody uses it and practices it, the entire network of magical bodies of information that's incorruptible, white magic, the alchemy, the principles that are creative principles, all of those are in fact being strengthened because they work together as one. Well, the other thing that people are usually surprised at is when they do something the first time around and it doesn't work, that they stop. I have a few of the martyrs that took the book Aruba Firina when it first came out, and they have every day done some of its spells. They could feel that something wasn't there, that something was missing, but they also knew that it is when they, with gratitude, receive and practice what they have already got, that they pull in more. And it is with their assistance that we pulled in. Those were, when the fairies gave us that, which, you know, came as a surprise to me because I'd paid no attention to magic. I knew about fairies because I'd been traveling through hidden realms, but I paid no attention to their magic or magic per se. As a Toltec Nahual, I studied the metaphysics of the cosmos. But when they gave it to us, they were in the etheric realms. If you take a look at the book, Journey to the Heart of God, you will see that the etheric is feminine in conjunction or in relation to material life that is masculine, more proactive. They gave us their magic with the best intention, but it was feminine-based. And its masculine component was only recently put in. So even though for 2 years those masters have practiced it religiously, knowing that it wasn't working like it should, they are the ones that help solve this. So there are layers of things upon it that build upon each other that have to be put in place. So, you know, that is reason number one. And is that sort of the type of thing you're looking for? Because there are other reasons I'm happy to explain.
Yeah, it would be good to get those. I just have one question, assuming you can sort of hold on to the other points you might want to discuss here. But
sure. Yeah.
When you say we, you know, it's futile to change the mirrors, we change it within. But sometimes I wonder if that's easier said than done, because how do you ensure that you're able to discern what exactly it is within that you're seeing mirrored without?
It is the only effective way, by the way, and I'll answer it in two parts. It's the only effective way. You can change what is without, but if you do, it will simply manifest somewhere else, because the projector is casting a specific movie. If you erase it on the screen, it's just going to make it somewhere else on another screen. So it is the only way. Now, let's just go to the other. How do you know what it is that you're dealing with? You cannot take anything at face value. I have spent much time in my books. For instance, it's in The Ring of Truth. I believe it's in Journey to the Heart of God. But we give you very carefully the tools to see what is behind the appearances. The absolute maxim, if you will, of mastery is I do not take anything at face value. I do not know. The most that try to walk the path of mysticism or mastery end up with mediocrity because they think they know, and now all they've done is gone one step up and formed a whole brand new set of prison bars in the form of belief systems. So to carefully evaluate life, to take time for meaningful living and looking at the areas in your life that you don't like and really analyzing what are the principles inherent in this. Those principles I've been doing for years, and they are in my books. Let's take something like addiction. In my own life, right now, I have somebody mirroring to me addiction. And, you know, as I look at her life, I know that somewhere in me there is addiction. Is it the addiction to grow? Is it the addiction to problem solve? Is it the addiction to keep moving, to discover new things, when there is really all things within this moment? We know all things. We are all things. We are made from the infinite being itself. That is perfection. So there is no striving to become. And if that is part of my addiction, I'm going to materialize addictive patterns in my mirrors. So what is it that causes addiction in the first place? You can't treat addiction as a first cause. It's the abandonment of self, the lack of presence, the not knowing how to live a life of fullness and happiness. So those kinds of connections, I'm sure folks can figure out for themselves if they take long enough, but I have written about them. They are in previous shows on the archives. They are in my blogs day by day. You know, my perspectives are given several times a day on Twitter. They're on the multiple websites with huge amounts of information, and they are for sure in my books and in the audio products that we sell, as well as on all the wonderful free videos that you've made. I share with them connections of things that has taken years of working hand in hand with the other masters of this earth to figure out. They can feel it with their heart. If it works for them, they don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Okay.
That's relationships, you know, it's what I'm really saying. Relationship between addiction and for instance, the abandoning of self.
Okay, now you said there were a number of other topics or points you could pursue in this
yes.
Topic.
In physicality, there has been a tremendous discrepancy when viewed against the standard of the rest of the cosmos of cause and effect happening one after the other. Normally, you can do magic and bing, the flower grows. Fairies do that, angels do that, but they can't do it in physicality. We can. Then why is there the delay? Let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And Ruhir, let me just continue with that one a little bit. The layers that have been removed and removed and removed to make it possible for us to have a life where things happen immediately. See, part of the problem is we remember a time when that was the case, when magic was on Earth, when things appeared in front of our face and didn't and so on. We have it in our classes, but it's more in the form of miracles, if you will. It's not that suddenly something is appearing in the room. It's the miracles of, that we photograph and actually put on all of our websites. But the layers, to give you an example of how complex it has been to dream up a creation in the depth of dreaming, bring it into shallower and shallower dreaming, then wake up, exit the dream, and recreate those creations outside of the dream without in any way disrupting their innocence. Because when too much light and too much knowledge is given too soon, it's like giving a child of 4 or 5 the total sex education or something when they're not ready for it. They'll ask you and you'll know when they're ready for it. When they start to be inquisitive about life, you don't want to force things on somebody that's not developed enough for it. So the light, which is accessed information at the highest form of the mother's being, the infinite's being, would have been too much for us. So there is this slow awakening. But that in and of itself created a problem because we're no longer in linear becoming. Things are exponential. So yesterday, something was changed along those lines, where we now have all access to all the infinite's light. The infinite is shining all its light because the infinite was unfolding its light within its cosmos slowly. That also created linear becoming, our awakening and the infinite's unfolding, linear. And that created a form of linear time, which corrupts innocence as well. So the innocence of the cosmos has been restored and healed, and a new way of unfolding, of taking our time to take what we're up for, has been developed. A shield is put around every individual creation. Full light is available, and an upgrade of every creation is made so that it can handle full light. But the shield will let in only as much as we intend to. So that means there's no limit to growth, but also there's no dictated speed to growth. So that was done but yesterday. And now let's take another thing, and it happened actually as a result of my questioning Mother after looking at the videos that you were preparing, Ruchir, when I walked into your studio over there, into your office. I saw that my face was distorted on the screen. And why don't you do a quick explanation for them as to why that is, and then I will tell you what developed from those insights.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the mechanics are, but in the software that I work with, you, because it's captured in widescreen, which in my case has a pixel resolution of 1.33, and computers' pixels are square, and so there are phases in the editing where, you know, you can toggle certain switches on and off to compensate for the effect, but where you will get a more stretched out image, which eventually in the encoding process is restored to where it should be, and in this case it's restored to square pixels. So again, it's kind of stretched out in between recording and the final product, and in the final product it's just sort of restored back to normal.
So in other words, and my understanding was from asking you about it, for the sake of refinement, you shoot it in high resolution, widescreen, and then there's distortion in the interim editing phases that you go through, but when it's all put back together at the end again, the benefit of that process is the high refinement of the images that it looks like you would see on a movie screen.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's a workable definition. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is exactly what has happened with our eyes. The eyes were designed like a camera to separate it out, to separate it out into widescreen. In other words, our eyes were designed to see the details as separate. The eye that was dominant for left brain saw that which was not. It noticed the gaps. It noticed what was not. The eye that saw that is dominant for right brain saw that which was. But both eyes, together in their vision, saw things as separate. It also saw it as distorted as we went through to aggravate certain situations so that we could really get the principles of it. To explain what I mean by that, if somebody says to me, is it honest to pick up somebody's safety pin that they dropped, but I really need it because my pants are loose, is that honest? I would say distorted. If they dropped a $100 bill, but you need it, would it be honest? You know, if they dropped $1 million and you picked it up because you need it, would it be honest? Under those circumstances, you can tell if picking up their pin and not telling them, hey, wait a minute, you dropped your safety pin, may I have it or something, but just assuming you can take it, now you can see if that's honest because you distorted it. In uncovering what is life-enhancing and what is not in the process of creation, the interim stages of editing have created distortion. And The eyes were made to see it separately. This was only dealt with yesterday, because it was so not only for creation, it was also so for the infinite. And what the infinite sees comes about. So part of seeing the great perfection and the great light that has dawned on this planet since the tremendous ascension process began to accelerate in February of 2005, we have a situation now where we're not seeing it because our eyes only see that which is not, if we're primarily left brain oriented, or that which we are, you know, which is, again, separate. We don't see the big identity, being as large as the cosmos, having a human experience.
Okay. Let me just think. I have a question here, but I wasn't sure if you exhausted all that you wanted to say on this.
Oh, there's been so many layers removing that have been removed and fixed and tweaked to bring about more immediate manifestation. But I personally believe here that the reason that the infinite has not yet affected it fully is because until full understanding is there to give us the responsibility of immediate cause and effect might not be advantageous. It's like giving a child a box of matches, but he doesn't understand that if he moves, you know, this together against that, that it could actually cause a fire. So the cause and effect, you know, on the one hand, we want it to be there immediately because of the magic. On the other hand, if we think something like, you know, people using words like, if it kills me, I'm going to do such and such. Well, it could. If we give that ability right away, understanding must come first. I think okay. Full understanding will be when those shields are gone that we spoke of, you know, that where people are still sort of monitoring the light coming in for themselves.
Okay, yeah, but you, in a previous show, I think two or three shows back, you also said that if they were get to full light immediately, they would go insane. But then my question would be, well, at what point would they not go insane anymore?
At this point, if they're ready for it, and they determine that themselves, the reason is that yesterday, the infinite upgraded all creatures to be able to withstand the full light, but then placed the, and that wasn't there before, and then placed the shield around sea.
Okay, now, in a previous show, you mentioned that we coming outside of the dream means that we're not made of this, well, what you labeled as dream material anymore. But what would this dream material be, and how does it differ from what it is now? I mean, I know now we're made from, you know, the substance of the infinite, but how would you distinguish these things?
If the potter is making a pot, it first has to make the clay. It mixes the water with the kaolin powder, whatever it is, and then starts to mold the pot. Then the pot has to be baked. First of all, the clay was made. The building blocks, the subatomic particles, the fields that preceded these, we've spoken a lot about them on previous shows, and they're very, very handy to know what was in order to understand what it has become. So by the time we are made, there is possibly we're two generations down. And so, because first of all, the fields were made, and then from the fields, the building blocks were made, and then from the building blocks, creations were made. The potter cannot really think of the pot as being part of itself. So the pot has to be kept outside of the actual potter. It's only when we become real that we are actually no longer a pot that is an artificial material to the potter's body. We have become part of the potter's body. And it's the simplest way that I can explain it. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism is yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. Al Mean continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Al Mean is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Al Mean, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back with us. And we're hoping our line is going to be a little clearer from this point on. We've had some problems this morning with phones and other conversations bleeding in, but we're hoping at this point it's cleared up. So, Ruchir, thank you. And would you continue with your questions, please?
Well, we were talking about the difference between the dream material and the substance of the infinite, and I was wondering if, like, for example, discussed on a previous show, like we were talking about fitness and light workers and physicality, and you said, well, what you see as fat could really be toxicity. Then the question would be, if everything has been recreated outside of the dream, why would this toxicity be brought into that as well?
A lot of it is psychological limitations, that we still have our old belief systems. Again, day by day, if folks follow along on the blog, you will see changes that are being made to purify things. And it actually, this morning has become quite crucial. And we had a dream sent in from one of our ascended masters in Holland, Niels, and he sent in a dream that said, last night I had two of those kinds of dreams that I think might be of some importance. I try to find the deeper meaning of them as little way showers in my life, but still think that Almin would like to know, especially since I asked Mother Father to speak to me in my dreams last night, something I usually never do. And anyway, he gives the dream, and in the last paragraph, he speaks about my splitting. Let me just go through this. He says, there appeared a second Almin, one slightly darker of form, like a shadow was reflected off her skin, and began to speak at the same time that she did. It didn't feel right, empty, distracted, not whole. And then I had a second dream, in which there was a big pit with a Mayan pyramid in the center. Some other people were there. All were the original 144 firstborns, and suddenly the Mother Goddess spoke to all of us at once in a very anger, with anger. She told us, the highest will become the lowest again. Then the earth began to shake, and I woke up. I got up at 5 a.m. this morning to go through a multitude of emails that have come in from people. And when I came to this, I had to take a very careful look at what the meaning was. And I asked Mother if there was something we were missing. And she said, yes, there is. There is something that is still present that could knock us back into dream state. And what knocked us into the dream state in the first place is rather important. What knocked us in was that something foreign arose within the infinite's being. It was a discordant tone. You know, was it part of the creation? Was it an attempt to create? I don't know what it was. That is something that is today's work, and when I find it, I will definitely put it on the blog. But what originally created the foreign substance, the foreign something within the infinite, acted like a drug, and it put it into a drugged dream state. And that is where we were created, and that is why things were so nightmarish. So now we're out of the dream state, but we still run the risk that we could hypothetically encounter something that is foreign within the being of the infinite, because there's a risk. We are now in the being of the infinite, but there still is, of course, a measure of freedom of choice. But if we produce things that are foreign to the infinite's being, it is like putting LSD into somebody's body, and they go on a bad LSD trip and become, you know, in a very deep dream state, if you will. A bad trip, I guess is what you call it. So we're looking at that risk today because there is something foreign in the infinite's being. And if it is not found, then it could put us back in the dream state. And, you know, all the nightmarish things may come back then. So it has to be dealt with.
Okay, so how does this tie in with something which you, I think you addressed it earlier in the show about the, you found that there was still a kind of a linear unfolding going on, and then that how that was solved. But when, you know, of the flooding the light and how it was increasingly disclosed, but that was a linear process. But I wonder, because when you spoke of that, you also spoke about the addiction to problem solving. And how would you, I mean, have you got any revelations about that one?
There are new recognitions needed, whole new paradigms. And the problem solving that we see, you know, there aren't problems. there are insights. And the other things that we see, for example, is that there can be something other than joyous, positive experiences at all. As long as we still see them as a reality and giving them value, we are looking to find them, to clear them, when really such a thing is not possible. It is a foreign concept that there can be something unpleasant within the being of the infinite.
Okay, but how does that then, I mean, how does that relate to what you just said about there being something foreign in the being of the infinite?
It has to be seen. Because I would imagine that if something like that happened and the infinite immediately went into a drug-induced sleep because something foreign appeared in its being, that it might not have analyzed it, or it might not have been capable of understanding it before it was catapulted into a dream state. I don't know how it works through here. I have not begun to work on that. I just started, and then I had to actually record the show.
Yeah, and what did you say? Because it reminds me, what did you say that the function of dreaming is again? Because I know there's just the basic idea about dreaming, but you said it really applied to the whole cosmic dream as well. Was it just unprocessed insights, or was it something else?
That I don't know, because at a superficial level, the answer would be yes. There was insight needed, and so a dream took place, because we know that there are really never mistakes, that even what sounds like a mistake, oh, wait a minute, such and such happened and catapulted the infinite into this sort of a bad LSD trip in which it conceived. No, you know, that's a very superficial explanation. Somewhere this is going to be perfect, but it might not be for a week or 2 weeks or a month until we find that insight, what the perfection is behind it. So I work with it at the level as though it's a mistake if I look at it and speak of it, but we will find it. It never has been. Let's just go one step back. If the infinite at that time did not understand fully how it happened that it entered the dream, it does need to be understood, because so it has to be looked at. Otherwise, all knowledge is available, but it's like having the ABC and having the ability to do algebra. You still have to choose which combinations of letters you're going to put together as to what insights you're looking for. Is that problem solving? Or is it just computing? I don't know.
All right. I wonder if we just have enough time now for another question, or...
Sure. We've got one more in this quarter, and then we've got a whole other quarter.
Okay, because I was actually wondering, we were talking on a prior show and in one of the videos about immortal mastery and disease, and specifically in the case of the cancer that we discussed. You know what I'm referring to, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, but at the same time, we also had on, and you were talking about breath, IDs, and disease, and in this case, you know, what kind of IDs do we feed upon, and specifically ideas about what supposedly occurs behind the scenes and really going, really immersing yourself in it. So we have that on the one hand, but on the other hand, we have this situation coming to your attention about, or that came to your attention about the mind control and the echelons that were still in place and all that. So it's kind of ironic, or at least synchronous, that these two things would be occurring at the same time. I mean, why do you think it is? Because you could say, as a person who was, you know, interested in this kind of material, you could say, see, I told you it was there all along. Why you said it wasn't, or you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. There is this incredible, impeccable timing of existence. the greatest privilege, you know, other than that I've been working with the infinite being on a day-by-day basis for an average of about 6 hours a day, the most incredible privilege has been to see the perfection of the unfolding of life, how every single thing has its moment. I remember once saying to the infinite, why does everything always have to happen in the nick of time? Because I found it so nerve-wracking. And Mother said, there only is the nick of time. In other words, there's a moment everything has to come to fruition, and not one moment later and not one moment before would have done. So if we live our life focusing on the fullness of the moment, knowing that we empower that which we focus on, all our personal power, all our ability to change life lies in the moment. It is for this reason that, you know, we spoke on, I think it was the previous show, about this department that was developed to deliberately give disinformation to light workers. Why? Because it would pull them out of their place of power. And they were starting to really make a difference, and the Earth catapulted into ascension. Their place of power is in the moment. When you oppose life, you are out of the moment. So if you are trying to fight what's on that movie screen instead of changing the movie within, you are abandoning the self. And the part of the self that you're abandoning is power. To the highest ability that is there, there will not be anything amiss if it's healed within. I didn't say that very well, but here's how it is. Even if he said to me, there's mind control, there's this, there's that, for years, which he's done, even if he said that, it wasn't until this last week that it was time to do something about it. And then it is effortlessly done. It is effortlessly done by throwing off mind control of ourselves, such as what we discussed before, I think it was on last week's show, or was it today, where we discussed throwing off old standards of sexuality and the way we thought it should be and the frequency we thought it should be, beauty standards given to us by people making, you know, billions of dollars in the beauty industry. The other thing was this fitness issue. I guess it is last week's show we discussed that on, but all of that is a form of mind control. As light workers, this is our week to throw it off. It's also the week that those that do mind control have in their devices can no longer work, and they need to leave. So this is the time, and all the years of worrying have just simply eroded our self-power, lost our own presence, and that is what causes cancer symptoms.
But would you say then that people who until this time claimed they were suffering from that or had that it wasn't really a problem at all?
No, it was not a problem at all, other than, in other words, there was massive mind control. Because we lived under social conditioning. As long as we allowed social conditioning to control us, it was permitted to create projects that would do massive mind control. But as for him, as an immortal master, he would not have been receiving it had he thrown off the concept that they're doing to him, instead of taking up his power and saying, I am creating my reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, it was there only to the extent that we let it be. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back, folks, and we've got about another 8 minutes or so left. So what would you like to cover as a topic for that?
Okay, now, previously, at the beginning of the show, you spoke of the movie The Truman Show, and it reminded me that I'm often thinking we should do a Almeen at the Movies feature, because what I'd like very much is that you don't really watch the movies that are supposed to be spiritual, but there are a lot of movies that, for example, the Pixar Disney ones that you often get themes and clues from. And I've been thinking, because we were talking about the fitness and the light worker physicality thing, and I just realized while during the show that it may have something to do with what you were saying about the movie WALL-E, and I remember that the other week you said, well, I've seen this movie twice now, and there is this insight there eluding me, but the insight that you had was about the entertainment and atrophy, and I've just found that fascinating, so I thought maybe you could sort of spell that one out for us.
That is a very good way to end this talk, because it's another form of control. My brothers and sisters, what he is talking about, I'll try and summarize for us in a nutshell here, but we have become, as a society, so accustomed to being entertained and served by the electronics of our environment. Our relationships often are through computers. Our entertainment comes vicariously through staged lives of others, which is on DVDs, on videos, on movies, everywhere. You know, we have it on our phones now. And everybody has one of those phones. The kids are all walking around with their electronic games and their Game Boys and Nintendo and whatever there is. So our entertainment is coming from the outside in. In the movie WALL-E, you can see that the bone density, the fatness of the people and so on, that they have atrophied because of their relying on external technology to amuse them. They've become wholly dependent on it. What atrophies when we use external entertainment as our entertainment alone is our awareness of inner. And the inner entertainment and the inner awareness is as follows. When you read a book, that is external entertainment because you're getting input of somebody else's thoughts. When, on the other hand, you do art, whether your art is singing, whether it's poetry, whether it's painting, doesn't matter. But when you do art, something in you is being externalized versus something external being internalized. Art is, for example, a way. When you write poetry, you are putting your heart out there with pen and paper. When you make a little drawing, it's a piece of you. And so, my brothers and sisters, that's one way to find entertainment from within. But the other way is that nothing shows us to ourselves quicker than nature. And when you are watching the sunset, when you are watching every night the stars come out, any kind of an activity like that that takes time for the silence and the connecting with nature will teach you about yourself, so that the journey of discovery isn't what is the newest gadget, what is the newest technology. Oh my, I have to have it because suddenly my very good technology is now obsolete. It is the discovery of self. And it is said that really all perception is self-perception by Toltec Nahuals when they train their apprentices, because you cannot notice something out there that isn't within. So, then how do you handle external technology? Just the way that Rogier said that I actually approached movies. When I'm in them, I don't analyze them at all. I follow my heart as to where I should be. Sometimes I'll see the same movie over and over and over and over. It might be something as silly as, you know, a little chef on Ratatouille, little mouse from the children's movies. But I know there's something I'm missing. And I just enjoy the movie while I'm with it. Afterwards, I know that if something in that movie stood out, it is self-perception. So I take what is without to learn more about what is within. That is the very best way to deal with external technology, but it cannot replace inner entertainment, or we will lose the heightened awareness that allows us to access the many, many, many internal senses vis-a-vis the five external ones.
Okay, now, so recently you were writing an article on the richness of inner life, and is that what this was about?
It's amongst other things, yes. I had some points there that were a little different, but they should, let me see, where did it go? It should be on my blog. So they can definitely, good thinking, Rogier, that we should refer people there, because there can be so much said on this topic. The richness of the inner life is what brings abundance. We have spoken about it on the past two shows, how everything without can be changed by changing within. But when we become a stranger to the within, we become disempowered beings. And humanity has been created with such incredible powers of creation and manifestation. Those wither. It is also not an accident that during the times of the fall and the ages and the years that have gone by, that more and more gadgets were there to amuse us, because as long as it did, we didn't live in the place where there's power. It doesn't mean that it can't produce it. We just have to take time to see what it taught us. Rogier, I think we are just about at the end of our show. And I just wanted to thank people very, very much for your comments and your lovely emails that you always send us. We try and answer all of them. We don't always succeed, but if we don't, we try and work it in on these shows. Also, we have regular emails going to our email list. If you haven't signed up, please do so. You can do it yourself by going to www.spiritualjourneys.com. We started making some note of at least a few of the miracles that happen during each of my classes. And we have got these miracles now appearing on our different websites, as well as the interdimensional photography that we're taking. So if you like to have your day uplifted, that's a good place to begin. My love to you always, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.